The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Okay.
Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. And once she grabs, she won't let go. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole. Rock, rock, rockin' Nicole.
None of that soft stuff.
Rock, rock.
None of that heavy metal stuff.
Rock, rock, rock,
just a little bit of jazz.
Rock, rock, rock and the cold.
What do you think?
Just
I
like
love
that.
It. That was great. Thank you.
In the spirit of today, it's a sing-along.
Big laughs out in the hall.
So thank you to Chris Isaac and Kenny Dale Johnson there for that intro. Today it's not necessarily rock, but it is songs, and we can sing along, and no, it's not Christmas carols. It is Christmas Eve. Welcome to it. I am live. Hi, Nicole Sandler here. Thanks for joining us. I figured the rest of the talk radio world appears to be on vacation this week, so I thought, well, just another reason for me to be on live. And though I am here physically, the bulk of the program today is on tape. We actually recorded this last week. And I was saving it for today because it deserves a special occasion. So it's the Marsh family who's joining us today. Now, if you've been listening to this show throughout the pandemic, you're very familiar with this family of six from Kent, England, who about a year and a half ago, they posted a song parody that the family did of a song from Les Mis. And it was about them being locked in the pandemic, and it went viral. And for good reason, you'll see why. And since then, they've been putting out these songs. Now, it's one thing to put out clever parody songs. It's another when the music and the singing and the talent is extraordinary. And the songwriting is right up there as well. And they just won my heart, but not only me, millions of people around the world. And now they've been embraced in their country. So, they joined us back in March. It's the first time we got together, and I was so charmed by them. And then I actually got an email from Danielle a few weeks back telling me about some of the work that they've done that they've been invited to participate in, and it's really impressive. So I asked if they'd be up for another, I hate to call it an interview, more of a conversation, and much to my pleasure, but they said yes. So we taped it last week, and we'll bring that to you today. Now, a quick word. The past few years, the Christmas Eve and Christmas Day have fallen on weekdays. And so instead of doing a show on those days, I reverted to my disc jockey days and did some music shows. Non-traditional Christmas music, of course, because it's me. So we will have those again this year. They will run throughout the weekend. I've got 2 hours worth that'll run on the Progressive Voices Network, which, of course, you can just turn on and leave. It's progressivevoices.com, or download the free app, and you can take it with you wherever you go. But I will also put those 2 hours of music, non-traditional Christmas music, out as a podcast. So if you don't already subscribe, what are you waiting for? You can do it in any of the places you get your podcasts. It's free. My show is not behind a paywall, though we do survive off of your donations. So if you can afford it, I hope you will add in a contribution along with your subscription. But hey, listen, share it, enjoy, and that's how we roll. All right. So let's not wait any longer. You know, I said today's going to be a day without politics. Something ugly happened earlier today with Joe Biden. He took the high road. I guess instead of teasing you, I should tell you. So Jill and Joe Biden are doing this NORAD thing where people can call in with their kids and track Santa's movements. And some jerk somewhere out there called, had a conversation with the Bidens, wishes them a happy holiday. And then at the end, he says, "Let's go, Brandon." And the Bidens, I want to say to their credit, Joe Biden said, "Oh yeah, let's go, Brandon," right back at you, or something like that. I think he knows exactly what Let's Go Brandon is. For those who don't know, there was a NASCAR event a month or two ago, and the crowd, you know, typical Trump crowd, was chanting F Joe Biden. It's a family show today, so I'm not saying it, but they said the full word. And one of the announcers in the booth said, oh, listen to that. They're chanting, Let's Go Brandon. They weren't chanting, Let's Go Brandon at all. And that's now become code for F Joe Biden. So good on Joe Biden for saying, yeah, let's go, Brandon. Merry Christmas. That's the attitude we're taking today. So the idiots who've come into my Twitter feed to give me a hard time, I'm just blocking them. All right, now on to the good stuff. You ready? I hope you are, because I certainly am. Let's do it. Take it away, Marsh family. All right, here we are. The entirety of the Marsh family is sitting here. Well, the entire Ben and Danielle and the four kids, Alfie, Thomas, Ella, and Tess, Marsh are all here. And it's so good to see you guys. I was thrilled when I heard from you learning about this new production you have. So in addition to all the wonderful videos that have kept many of us sane throughout the almost 2 years of this pandemic so far, you're now being embraced, I guess, by your fellow countrymen to help spread the message for other things that are necessary. I'm talking about your new song. It's a parody of Mac the Knife that is done to call attention to prostate cancer, yes?
Yeah, so we got in touch. Well, we were contacted by Prostate Cancer UK way back in 2020, because when we first put together our YouTube channel, it was one of the songs that we put up. We'd done a version of Ben had written a song for my dad after he was thankfully cured of prostate cancer 3 years ago now. And they contacted us and just wanted to chat about it. So when they reapproached us in October and asked us if we would do something for them to try and raise awareness of a cancer which will affect 1 in 8 men, 1 in 4 black men, and yet we don't talk very much about because it's seen as being, I don't know, embarrassing or difficult to approach, we decided that if we could do anything to raise awareness, that would be really a positive way of using some of this notoriety or fame that we've attracted in the past 18 months.
Without a doubt. Now, the first one you did was back, I guess, in 2019, the prostatectomy song that you did. This is before the pandemic, really. So before you took off and went viral, thanks to all your COVID parody songs.
Yeah, that's right. Usually there's lots of small regrets that we have about songs, individual notes being out of tune, what we chose to wear, the dogs getting involved in them when to. And in this case, it's one that really grates for me because I call it the prostatectomy song, but of course, technically, it should be the prostatectomy song, which is the surgical procedure that Lil's dad underwent successfully, luckily, robotically as well, the mysteries of modern medicine. So yes, it was a kind of chipper, piano-based fun song, a bit London musical, music theatre.
A bit sort of Cockney, yeah. It was intended to be a Christmas present because back in that time, it was very unusual for us to not see them at Christmas, but because he just had his operation, we knew we weren't going to see him, so we did this little song and thought, oh, isn't it strange having a Christmas without grandparents? Little did we know what was coming. Well, last Christmas and after announcements today, we don't quite know where we are with this Christmas, to be perfectly honest. But so it was a little song that we put out for him just for family. And then it kind of, went up later.
But we played with those words and we weren't sure at that point what functions Grandad was going to have on the other side of the prostatectomy, because obviously it's messing with various internal operations. Right. And we were poking a bit of fun about that. Prostate Cancer wanted to clear it, Prostate Cancer UK to clear it medically. So it was a big biology lesson for me, really. Like many men, I mean, I'm 45, like many men my age, embarrassingly, I didn't know that much about my internal organ or how it could go wrong. Eventually we hit on Mac the Knife, which is a cracking swing classic that everybody knows. And of course, it's a song that there have been so many versions done of that I think people naturally lean into it and kind of accept that it's okay to do it in slightly different ways. So ours is definitely a different way of doing it.
Oh, of course. Now, the video that you did, you're all decked out in gorgeous evening wear. You're on a stage. Where did you record this?
We recorded it in Hackney, I think.
Yeah, in London. East London, the Moss Club, wasn't it? Yeah. It was it was chosen because it had a very sparkly ceiling, and we were very exciting to actually leave the house, wasn't it?
It's the first video we've done that was outside the house.
Yeah.
And there was lots of exciting features of doing it, wasn't there? What was it, Tess? What were you excited by?
I was excited by all the makeup and the sparkly dresses and sparkly outfits.
And Tess had very sparkly shoes.
Ah. Well, you looked gorgeous. All of you, you looked wonderful. I'm going to play the video.
Hello, John.
A pint of lager and a large white wine.
No worries.
Oh, the prostate, it's a gland, dear, and it's hidden deep inside. Has a shelf life that's hard to predate, 'cause we keep it
like a walnut,
kind of T-shaped,
near the bladder and rectum. Fancy gloves, oh, where's the doctor? If they check it, sticking fingers up your
skip it a wopsie do be do boo.
It's a man thing,
just occasionally it's friends
thing. Health makes
Prostate Cancer UK contacted you and asked if you wanted to do a project with them based on the first video you did?
Basically, yeah. They said they have a campaign, they have different themes of campaigns throughout the year, and December is about families and about getting other members of the family to put perhaps a little pressure on dads or uncles or brothers or, you know, grandfathers, and ask them the questions that perhaps they're not prepared to ask themselves. So they came to us and said, would you do something that was kind of a bit humorous that we could then sort of start conversations with? And yeah, we were more than happy to do it. And it's ended up being, yeah, a really good positive experience that we've really enjoyed doing, and we've spoken more about prostates in the past 2 weeks or so than ever we would have ever imagined.
I mean, obviously the healthcare situation in the UK very different from in the States, and we have the National Health Service. But in spite of that centralized operation, which effectively offers insurance and cover for everyone in the country, because of the pandemic, tens of thousands of cancer referrals that you'd normally expect to be going through the system have not been happening because people have reticent. Sometimes people have, you know, not wanted to leave their homes. On, in other occasions, we all know how much stress the healthcare system's been through, and people have kind of said, well, I'm just going to keep that to myself. But fundamentally, with an aging population, you know, that's causing a massive problem. So it's really important actually for all types of cancer, but especially for ones that people are embarrassed about, because for whatever reason, they challenge notions of masculinity or they're awkward. It's really important to kind of push people to just confront them and kind of get on with the first steps to getting tested. And so we were trying to raise attention, but also, as we do in other videos, you know, poke fun at things a little bit, hopefully without making people feel uncomfortable.
No, you do it in such a wonderful way that we smile and we laugh and we're just charmed by you. I'm sorry, Danielle, you were going to say something.
I was just going to say that it was interesting in a way to us because of my dad's experience, but my dad's a doctor, and yet he still didn't go when he should have done. He knew there was something, he didn't act on it. Thankfully, he was in time, but he really nearly wasn't. So it was even more of a kind of a reason for us to kind of push this, because if people who have this, you know, knowledge and expertise still aren't taking those steps, then you can imagine that an awful lot of people are just imagining that it's probably nothing and I don't want to be a bother. And so, yeah, anything that we could do to kind of really push that and say it is not, you know, to find out that there is no problem is the positive. To wait too long and find out that you have sadly left it too late is you know, not an experience we want anybody to have. So,
absolutely not. And in fact, I'm a lung cancer survivor, and thankfully we found my cancer very early. So I had surgery to remove most of my left lung, but I didn't have to have chemo or radiation or anything like that. So early detection is the best thing. And the way you do that is by going to the doctor. I know during the pandemic, a lot of people didn't. Hopefully, we'll get back to that. Now, but this song isn't your first. You said this was the first video you shot outside, but you did have a performance outside during Comic Relief, during Red Nose Day. I think the first time we spoke, you had just finished that, and I got to see the video after that, and it was wonderful. Now, you also got to dress up, but you had new pajamas for that, yes?
Yeah, that was cool. What do you think about that?
It was very exciting, especially since we'd been in the house most of the time before it. But yeah, we got a taxi in the early morning and then drove down, and it was very exciting because there were lots of celebrities. We met Rag and Bone Man, I think it was.
Yeah, a big singer that ran near us. What was your favourite bit about the Comic Relief thing, Tess?
Well, overall, it was just like the first time we've been like out in like a long time during the pandemic, and it was just very exciting to go in a taxi.
Bonus.
Go to such a big place in the company, we were doing such a big thing that we'd be on TV.
Yeah.
It was pretty nerve-wracking though, boys, wasn't it? Like, and we had to suddenly think about, because we weren't going to have, like, when we're at home, if it goes wrong, someone has a meltdown, we just say, okay, we'll try again tomorrow. But obviously in those situations, suddenly you have to deliver.
Yeah, I think we were surprised as well, because we did it in like two takes, and we were all kind of expecting to have a few more to do. And I think it was also like the prostate cancer video and all that was all different to the Comic Relief as well, because it's when you've been kind of in your home for a long time and kind of doing the same thing but from your own house, and then suddenly there's kind of loads of people fussing over you and getting things ready, and it's just a very strange transition, but it was still, yeah, great experience.
And the actual lights and standing right up on stage was really, and actually what Richard Curtis, who organises Comic Relief, he's big director and very famous cool guy, had been the one that had kind of contacted us to sort of say, would we come and be a part of it? So we stood up on that stage and began to perform, and they just wanted to kind of check that the cameras and everything were right, and we paused for a second, and suddenly Richard Curtis and his wife Emma Freud appeared at the front of the stage and said, we're here to watch you, because obviously we were very limited in the numbers we could have. Unfortunately, Tess, who'd taken massive advantage of the fact that we had a very lovely lady who was bringing us drinks, had possibly had a few too many drinks, so she just turned to Ben and said,
not alcoholic drinks,
no, could you take me to the toilet? So Ben had been taken off with Tess, and I had this conversation with Richard Curtis, which I was all a bit, oh my goodness, well, Ben was nowhere to be found. And then Ben came back and I was like, Richard Curtis is, and then we just had to go in straight into the song. So knowing that they were out there in the darkness as well was really, really cool. But no, it was, it, that was another moment that you kind of pinch yourself about, and you think, whatever else happens, when we are older and greyer than we are now, we will remember that we did that. And it was, yeah, it was a very cool thing to have done.
Faversham's most famous family. Tens of thousands of online followers. Over 30 million views across socials. Out of their house for one night only, but still in their pajamas. The Marsh Family.
Third lockdown.
2021, and it's a little bit lonely. No one's ever coming round.
Third lockdown.
2021, we bet we'd all be outside, but I'm still listening to the sound of their tears.
Third lockdown.
Every day I'm treated like I offer room service, but they mess it in the blink of an eye.
Third lockdown.
Every now and then we get a little bit terrified of when we think she's gonna let fly.
Third lockdown. Time flies.
Struggling to tell the days apart.
Third lockdown. Time flies.
Say we're totally fixed where we are.
From the charts.
Nothing we can say. We're totally fixed where we are.
Yes!
I would say that we've had a lot of people kind of assuming that for some, like, these children are different to other children. They complain about practice, like. Children, they don't want to do things. They, and I think some people sort of think that they, yeah, we've magically sprinkled them with music dust and they just say, Mummy, I'd like to play, I'd like to practice for an hour and a half. And it really isn't like that. But in our lives, it is quite an important thing to do. And every time they've sort of gone, oh, I don't really want to, or can I stop? We've just said, no, this is something that we'll keep giving. And thankfully they've listened to us and they've been brilliant. And actually, Tess's biggest achievement.
Yeah, what's your week been like?
What did you do?
I passed my violin grade 2 exam with a high merit.
Yeah,
very good.
I also passed my singing grade 3 exam with a distinction.
So,
which was way less you know, actually way more stressful than doing comic relief or getting through grade two violin. It's about knuckling down, and you know, the practice is the same with anything, really. I suppose with sports, it's part of. But what's been lovely about the journey that we've ended up having accidentally is that they know there's a reason in a way now. We play these instruments and we sing these songs, and we always did before, and it's about ourselves and our family. But what's lovely for them is the possibility now that others. So, like, I think we have to bully and bribe them less than we used to, probably.
That's great. It's obviously, you know, like Mum says, we're no different to other children. Like, we complain about practice, but I think, you know, like you said, with us touching all these people's lives, it's like, I think it's become important to us as well through this pandemic, and you know, I think it will through the rest of our lives. I think music's just kind of a really good way of, you know, doing so many things.
I think a lot of the songs that we've done, we haven't necessarily said, well, let's write another funny song about. It's often been stuff that's been going on in the news, or stuff that we've spoken about, or hopes that we've got. We did one at the end of last summer holidays where I know them too well, which was like, we're back to school, we're looking forward to that. And then obviously things have changed. And so a lot of the time it's conversations that we've been having with one another and trying to understand some of the stuff that's going on in the world. And apart from the other part of the release with the Prostate Cancer UK, which is the Christmas song that Ben wrote, those ones have kind of come out of a, I want to write something about. Most of the rest of them are born out of conversations, things that are going on in the news. And some of them are easier to make fun of than others, but smiling or at least laughing a little bit at them has made it a little bit easier for us, never mind for anybody else who's watching it.
Oh, yes. Now one of you mentioned an announcement that was made today. I'm wondering what the situation is like over there. Over here, we have another surge happening. It quieted down. It looked like maybe it was going to end, and then Omicron comes in. Although the hospitals are full, and they said that it's still the Delta variant. So the Omicron surge, they say, won't really hit until January here. So here we go again. What did they say there today?
Yeah, we just had a major kind of emergency announcement from the Prime Minister and the health officials here. So tragically today, we hit the highest number of recorded infections in one day. So Omicron is really here. It's become apparent is how quickly it's overtaking and sort of sweeping through. So the projections are all a little bit alarming at the moment. I mean, there is some hope that it will be less virulent in a sense than perhaps the Delta infection, but there isn't that much evidence to back that up yet. Mm. And so all of the projections are about very high levels of hospitalization to the point where it might overwhelm health services. So we're already reintroducing legislation to bring obligatory masks back, vaccine passports for big events. And the warning was, you know, absolutely prioritize one or two small gatherings over Christmas, but right, unfortunately, it was cancelled again.
Yeah, they said that the Omicron variant is now the most established one in London. So we've gone from it being a few cases 2 weeks ago, it's doubling every 2 days now, they say. So they think it will, we could be up to 1 million cases by sort of the end of the month. So it is suddenly going back to a very scary situation. Even if the infections, when people, vaccinated people get them, are less bad, if that many more people are getting them, then it says, you know, it stands to reason that there are going to be a lot of people hospitalised, and there just isn't the space. It's not that not that Delta was any better, and that there are actually are people, you know, beds spare. So it's all being, it's all becoming a little bit bleak and scary again, just as we're coming to the end of term and time.
It's hard. Now, are the kids back in school, or are you learning at home again?
No, we've been in school for a while now. I think we're getting a bit worried. Obviously, we're coming to the end of term now, but yeah, another lockdown could be looming. No one's really sure what's going on at the moment. But yeah, for now, we are still in school, and hopefully we will be.
That's been the kind of really tricky thing, because obviously a lot of the adults in the country were vaccinated, and we were lucky that our big three were all vaccinated, but the younger ones still aren't able to be vaccinated here. And it really has, it's been coming from schools. That's where it's up. And teachers, I feel terribly sorry for having been a teacher in my former life, is that, they got their jabs early on, didn't get their boosters because a lot of them were under 50 when that was the prerequisite. And yeah, there's a lot. I think half of their music department was out a couple of weeks ago with it and stuff. So yeah, it's just in a way you could see the wave coming. We didn't know Omicron was going to be in the offing, but yeah, it's not nice, even if you know kind of how it feels.
I feel like we're partly responsible because for the first time in our lives, we booked Christmas dinner out. We booked a pub down the road, which looked like it was amazing, lovely Christmas. We've never done it before, but obviously it means you don't have to do all the washing up and stuff like that.
Sure.
So the first time we tried it, we were almost certain to have jinxed for the whole world.
Well, I don't think that's what happened, but I understand the feeling because I've been there too. Now, do you realize I actually sent out your take on Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah today to an old friend of mine. It's Have the New Jab, which is one of my favorite of your songs because I love the original and you just do such a wonderful job with it. Your voices, girls, are incredible. And I have a friend, an old friend who should know better, but she refuses to get vaccinated. And I've been arguing with her and I thought, you know what? I need to take a different tact. So today I sent her your Have the New Jab video. I posted it on her Facebook page and I said, Michelle, you need to listen to this. I'm hoping that something will knock her into reality. Do you have the same thing over there with these crazy conspiracy theories and the vaccine deniers and that?
Yeah, I mean, there have been lots of messages through YouTube. Dad's got a filter where he reads the messages before he lets them through. And there have been quite a few people that obviously don't agree with it for either religious reasons or just because they're scared or don't want to get it or believe the conspiracies. But yeah, it's extremely important that people get it and get the booster, especially now, to help stop and prevent variants like Omicron from taking over.
And we actually did have an experience right at the beginning. So once they said that they were going to vaccinate the under 16s, the 12 to 16, there was a contingent of anti-vaxxers who decided to target the secondary schools. So they were all stood outside all the kids' schools sort of shouting terrible, I mean awful things, right? If your parents loved you, they wouldn't, you know, that kind really of nonsense.
They put out like pamphlets really of like, and one of my friends took one and I was just looking through it and all the information was just false. They'd obviously got it from like random sites that were like from 2017 and hadn't been updated. But
it's just, there are people who want to spread this, and then there are people who don't know where to look for the information and would rather say no than potentially risk anything. And those are the people who we were looking to talk to with things like Have the New Jab, and I suppose to some degree with things like the prostate, the Matt the Knife. Mm-hmm. It's about giving people that opportunity to say, so it's definitely not going to affect my children's fertility, or it's definitely not. Like, they don't feel confident to necessarily Google that because, you know, the rabbit holes that you might end up going down if you do. But there are people who just want to check those things and don't know where to go for that, and don't know that those things are, you know, legitimate if somebody's put it out there to ask those questions. But fundamentally, yes, if you trust those doctors when you go in and they say you need this operation or you need to have this done, then trust them with this. Like, I don't understand why we would assume that all those nurses and doctors who we in this country went and clapped for and said thank you so much to are going to make up stuff and try and get us injected with something that's going to do anything other than make us more resilient and hopefully save us from this horrible illness, which, yes, to us might be just unpleasant, but to other people will be deadly. And that's what we're doing everything for in this pandemic. We're not doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for the people that we might not know who are going to brush past and potentially infect. And we've got to see everybody as being in this together. Otherwise, we are in, you know, a really difficult place.
I heard the walls were rumors shed that COVID vaccines were unprepared or brewed to really censor and control you. Well, it goes like this, a fourth or fifth of people might have fought for this. They're thinking of opposing having new jobs. Have the new jobs.
Science is strong and they've yielded proof. You won't grow scales or camel's hooves. They duly checked with trials and then approved them. It's biological warfare. They broke all records but still to care. So please do not refuse to have the new gem. Have the new
wondering that now that you guys have had a taste of fame, you kids, do any of you want to make this a profession? Are you looking to be professional musicians, or is it too early yet to tell?
I mean, certainly for me, it's too early to tell. I don't know about you guys, but I have no idea what I want to do at the moment, especially with all this COVID stuff going on. So yeah, I personally, I'm not sure. I guess for now, we're just going to see where it takes us. But yeah.
I mean, I've always enjoyed kind of musical theatre and acting and singing. So it's definitely a possibility for me, I think, along with being an epidemiologist. They're my two things at the minute.
Wow, nice.
What about you, Tess? Would you like to go take music further?
Well, I would like to keep doing music because it's always a thing we've done and it's just really enjoyable and I will always do music, but I think my heart still says from being a vet.
A vet. So, oh, child after my own heart, yes. And Alfie?
Yeah, it's kind of ironic, but I, like Thomas, have absolutely no idea what I want to do. And at a point where, I mean, the year I'm in now is the year I've got to pick what I want to kind of choose to do to go forward in A-level over here, I think it's called. I don't know if it's the same thing over there. But, yeah, so I still have absolutely no idea what I want to do. It might be music, but at the moment I don't think that will probably be the kind of first thing I'm thinking of in terms of my passions academically. So,
possible, but we're not ruling anything out, but we're not ruling anything in.
Cool. And you don't have to decide yet. That's the beautiful thing. You can just enjoy it and go through and learn and, you know, expand your horizons. Now, do any of the kids contribute the lyrics? I know, Ben, you write most of the lyrics, and they are clever. Some of them, you know, you go right up to the edge, knowing you're dealing with children here, but it's like a Disney movie. It works on numerous levels. So the older people get it, and the younger people get it, maybe with a different spin.
Well, we don't as much write it as we do say we don't want to do it or say it.
He'd write
a draft, and then we'll go through and say, I don't want to sing that line. Someone else has to sing this and change it around a bit.
I think there was a couple of songs. Sometimes it's the song choices where a lot of the time Ben will come and say, what do you think about this? Sometimes it's like, no. But I think you came up with the Lion Eats Tonight, the lion sleeps tonight that we did about takeaway food.
Love it. Around the kitchen table. It was wonderful. Yes.
We need a takeaway.
We did about takeaway food.
Love it. Around the kitchen table. It was wonderful. Yes.
Totally Fixed Where We Are. I was the big Bonnie Tyler fan who said this. I love that one. But most of them, we might alter a few words here and there. But to be perfectly honest, Ben is the driving force behind that. And we are mere pawns in his game.
I think for the Moana one, though, it was like me or Tess watching the film and Dad came through and heard the song and he thought it would be a good one to do.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of them are born out of things that, songs that we like or that the kids have listened to or that we have come up again. And yeah, you can sort of see when Ben sort of suddenly goes, oh, this could work. And then go off and have a very long bath and come back and say, I've got some lyrics. What do you think?
But I think the recent release has also been a chance to try something a bit different because of the audio quality, and we got it we recorded it all at home, but we got it mixed remotely, as everybody can now, at studio quality. So that's quite kind of exciting and a slightly different possibility to get that kind of proper sound and proper videos made. So it's a bit of an experiment at the moment to see whether people are interested in it and to see whether it's something that we can take forwards as well. You know, at the moment, without any support, we're trying to do it all independently, but it is that they might not know about jobs, but it feels like I've now added about six different jobs to my life, because I'm now a studio engineer, the IT person, as well as the lyricist. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely knackered. I'm just looking forward to Christmas Day and just meet up and do it. I'm planning to do absolutely nothing apart from eat and drink that day.
When Ben came back, I think it was late August. We were talking about strange weather events, and in August we went to a little there's a little festival that's held near us, and we'd gone there one night, and we had a properly big storm. I mean, nothing very exciting normally happens weather wise here, but it was.
I don't think you can say that to people in Florida.
No, we had had this discussion. I'm so. Just going back to the fact that Kent is not massively exciting when it comes to weather, but we did have this enormous storm, and it blew all of our electricity and all of our internet, and we were up with, you know, burnt everybody's hubs and everything else. And Ben said, "I'm thinking about writing a Christmas song," and we were saying, "It's August," and it's. Yeah, this is the beginning of Bring Us a Candle came from that conversation about that, and then about Christmases and what Christmas was like last year and possibly what it's going to be like this year. But yeah, that was the opportunity where you had more time to actually put down what you were thinking, and we all discussed what it meant to us and actually start to finish a whole song, as opposed to saying, here's the music and how can we alter that. So it's been a different experience, but it has been equally interesting to actually go at it from a different angle, I suppose.
Okay, I can press play.
All right, let's do it.
Come on, Alf. Stop yawning. Come on, it's Christmas. Smile.
Thomas.
Look away. Come on. Right.
Why do you take me?
Shh. Careful of your tree. Right, bring your nails. Okay.
Who's done this time? Is that
you?
Did someone say wire?
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Just a candle, the power went off when the lightning struck. We endlessly waited in circles and watched as supplies burnt up.
It was some kind of madness, had to stand at the dawn.
Never reaching the end of a sentence that no one deserved after all.
Bring us a candle.
Riding out the storm,
carving out a path,
pick up when you fall,
never looking back,
holding out for Christmas to bring a little cheer,
and wishing you were
time now, the clocks don't run.
They're showing it's 19 forever. We can't get the hands to turn.
It was some kind of madness, had to stand at the dawn.
Never reaching the end of our journey if nobody knows where you're from.
Riding out the storm,
carving out a path,
pick up when you fall,
never looking back,
holding out for Christmas to bring a little cheer, but wishing you were here.
We'll be right back.
three ships come sailing in on Christmas Day.
From any of the people whose songs you covered, like Elton John, you did Goodbye Pandemic Road, or Cat Stevens, Yusuf Islam, you did Father and Son, which was always one of my favorite songs. You ever hear from any of those artists?
Yeah, there was one that we did just, it was the one before the One Day More went crazy. But yeah, there was, we did the opening song to Tangled. We got a response from the guy that wrote the song saying that he really enjoyed Alfie's bass playing, which was highlight of Alfie's pandemic.
That was literally like day two of the lockdown that we did. That was the first thing we did. A take on the beginning of that Tangled film. And yeah, we've had a few.
And we spoke to Bonnie Tyler, which was amazing.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, and some other people have kind of been in touch and are now, you know, I have occasional conversations with that feel very surreal. Mira Savino, who's absolutely fabulous, kind of occasionally they really like to bring us a Canton song, and it's just like, that still feels very surreal, that you're at a really close point of interconnection with somebody that feels in a different stratosphere.
Yeah.
But I suppose it's kind of one of the positives of the pandemic is that sense, while we're all profoundly disconnected, that actually we're finding different ways to kind of connect up, and we need to do that.
Yeah, and that's certainly what we found over this past, particularly this past year, as things looked to be getting better here, and we were just kind of moving on with our lives. But things in the Southern Hemisphere, particularly Australia and New Zealand, were obviously getting more difficult. People found us on the internet again, and we suddenly sort of started being contacted by Australia and New Zealand, and we'd done some telly for New Zealand, I think back in September, whilst we were kind of still in that hopeful phase that we were moving out of the situation that we're now back in. When you're only talking to your friends, like, you know, through a computer screen, then people being in Australia is not that much different to whether they're, you know, in the same country as you just can't visit them. So it has felt strangely like it's brought those kind of people us together to the in a way that we wouldn't have imagined.
Well, absolutely. And look, that's what happened with us when I found you, and I started watching the videos, and now when you have a new one and I say to my listeners, oh, there's a new Marsh Family video, people get excited. You have a lot of fans. You have brought something wonderful, like a really bright spot to a very dark point in history. This has been a rough few years, and it looks like it's not going to let up in a major way anytime very soon. And, you know, I mentioned earlier the pandemic silver lining. You guys are one of those. There are a few of them. Like I said, I discovered I could paint at 60 years old. Who knew? But what you guys are doing is you're bringing joy to the world. You're giving enjoyment to people, and you're making us feel not so bad about something that's pretty horrible. And that's huge. And I got to thank you. I thank you on behalf of all my listeners and everybody I know who I've introduced you to, who all love you. So thank you. And I hope you keep doing it, because it's a wonderful slice of life. And it lets us forget the ugliness for at least the 4 or 5 minutes when you're doing a song.
Oh, that's very kind. And yeah, Ben and the boys have been working on a new song, which we may be bringing out. So not necessarily pandemic related, but what's the new one?
It's going to be a funk song about the menopause, if we can get it past, if we can get it past quality control, and she's happy to sing about it. So we're going to really start testing the thresholds of embarrassment and what it's okay to put out there or not.
Awesome. That's awesome. You know, I met one other woman who does parody songs, who's in New Zealand. Her name is Shirley Sherbon.
Yeah, we've seen her. Brilliant. I think she was a Bohemian. Was she the Bohemian Rhapsody?
Bohemian Rhapsody, yeah.
Yeah. So when Ben said, we're going to write a family version of it, I think it's more the family singing to me as opposed to me.
Well, I've been there, done that. So I look forward to that as well. No, it's wonderful. And it's meeting you guys has been such a pleasure. And I hope one day to be able to do it in person.
That'd be lovely.
Love to make it
I miss
over to
all
the
my
States.
Friends in the States. It's been 2 years now. And obviously as a early American historian, those archives are calling. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, he's getting very twitchy. So he's having to occupy himself writing songs at the moment. But hopefully we'll be able to let him loose in an archive again soon in the States. But,
please. And if you ever can come visit, I'll meet you guys in Disney World.
Deal. All right. Well, have a wonderful Christmas and hopefully a healthy new year.
Well, thank you. The same to you. And thank you again for all you do. You bring, I know it's the season, you bring joy to the world. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
It's now time to rehydrate. Just relax, you look queasy. You're still drunk, that's your fault. Don't mix lager with Cointreau. Find a shirt, better shop. If you want, have a coffee. Look at you, you are old, stale and craggy. You could once have big nights out, and recovery was easy. You've become in lockdown, lackadaisical. So next time, don't drink a lot. Don't drink everything they've got, for you'll be filled with shame and sorrow when your liver's shot.
How can I show self-restraint when I get to see my mates again? It's almost been a year since they saw me. For the first time we could talk, we got hammered. I miss them now. The next day my hangover won't go. I'm in pain, but I know it will only last a day. I hope the pain will
move.
She left the house like Cinderella. Came back, they dwellers into her fingers all the time.
Falling for the tricks inside my mind. Each time I tried to slow the tempo,
she chose Prosecco, sipping through her fingers all the time.
Next time I'll just drink one.
I'll just drink Spritz. Say it, but they'll never hold the line.
Sipping through my fingers.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Have a wonderful weekend, and I'll see you back here on Monday. Thank you to the Marsh family. Thank you for listening. See you Monday.